wicked one revealed, and you said, I already have that lesson, you don't have that lesson. Because, of course, I didn't finish that lesson last week, so everybody knows what happens, right? I didn't finish the lesson, and so after class, I probably had three or four people ask me a question about the lesson that I didn't cover. So I tried to cover that, and I put that back in the lesson. And so the lesson now has grown from 3 pages last week to 6 or 7, or how many pages is it this week? So it's the same lesson, but it's not the same lesson. So you need the same lesson, but not the same lesson this morning. Does that make sense? Okay, so if you have the lesson that you don't need, you need the lesson that you need. Is that easier to explain? Okay, so if you have a lesson that only has 3 pages or 2 back to back, you need a bigger lesson. And so if you haven't got that already, Becky, it looks like she's passing that out over there, and Ken's passing those out. If you'll stick your hand out, I'm trying to give them a chance. Stick your hand up. There's some up here, Beck, and Ken, right way up here, over here. And you'll do that way back in the back. There's a couple. Make sure you get that. It'll help you follow along, because that's one of those lessons. We're talking about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I will tell you this. This is a difficult chapter for most people to get right. And I'm not saying I've got it right. I'm saying I'm doing the best I can. I know there's going to come a day. I mentioned this last week. You look at the Pharisees in the New Testament time, and you look how much study and how much effort and how much zeal they put into the Old Testament, and you say, well, they knew their Bible. Yeah, but they didn't even recognize the Messiah. I mean, think about that. How could they know the Scripture so well, many of them quoting huge portions and passages of it, and yet they missed the Messiah? So just because you think you know your Bible really well doesn't mean you don't need to study. Doesn't mean you might be wrong on some things. Okay? Be careful. I'm always careful not to criticize. I don't think you've in my class heard me go on a long dissertation why I don't agree with the Methodists or the Presbyterians. Every now and then I'll say something about Catholic, because it's a works-based system, and that's obviously not where we would stand. But I try not to mention denominations and people, because there is a slight, I mean, I'm not Pastor Monty, so I'll be honest with you. There's a slight possibility in some areas I could be wrong. Okay, so when you get to a chapter like 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which has some issues in it that you really have to be careful how you translate, I try to be as liberal as I can. I will let you go as far as you can one way without, unless I can say that is not what the Scripture says. I'm going to attack back. And I hope you'll let me go the same way the other way until you can say that the Scripture does not agree with that. And then you welcome. So that's where I stand on a lot of these issues. We were talking about last week the wicked one being revealed. We call him the Antichrist, although it's interesting, the Bible really never calls him the Antichrist. It talks about Antichrist with an S on the end, many of them, and there have been many of them. I mentioned last week, I think people like Hitler was an Antichrist. There's many more that have happened over the years. But there is one that will come as the supreme, the beast, the wicked one. He will come. And we just give him the general title as the Antichrist. I think I said last week we probably should have called him the Antichrist of Antichrist, because that's really what he is. And so if you're looking at your notes, we blew through a lot of this last week, so I'm not going to, if you missed it last week, that's why we give out notes, so you can look at it. We talked about the name Antichrist. We talked about the name, Paul called him that man of sin. We talked about that. The son of perdition, we talked about that. That's 1, 2, 3 on the front page there. Perdition just means ruin or destruction. Then we got to, I think we got to number 4, that wicked one. I talked a little bit about that. And then I think we stopped about number 5 there, who's coming is after the working of Satan. And that's another name, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. If you mention the name of Satan, power, signs, and lying wonders shouldn't surprise you. That's been his mode of that and deceit have been his mode of operation since he fell from heaven. In that little short paragraph, I'm just going to read this and move on, because I got a lot of stuff we want to talk about this morning. And am I going 900 miles an hour? I just noticed people looking at me like, whoa, big boy, calm down. I didn't finish it last week, and so I'm trying to get it this week. So anyway, here we're told that who is behind the wicked one. We know who's going to be behind the Antichrist and who is the instigator of all his wicked plans. He is a man, and he, listen to me, I'll say it this way. He is going to be a human, and he is going to be a wicked human, no question. He is already perverted in his mind because he has given himself over to the power of the devil. He is literally going to be possessed by the devil. And as wicked as he is, most of the things he's going to do are inspired of the devil, not from his own mind. When you yield yourself to that influence, that's what happens. And so that's why Paul calls him, this title here, him who's coming is after the working of Satan. Satan, ever the enemy of God and the righteous today. Inner time? What in the world was I typing? Satan, ever the enemy of God and the righteous today. That is weird. I have no idea what I was typing. Let me tell you how I type. Okay, I don't write things down in my office. I type things out. So what happens is I type all these sentences, and then I don't like that sentence, and I go back and change the sentence. And sometimes I don't delete all the words. Okay, so unless you want to come type for me, don't criticize. Be nice. Okay, he works behind the scenes, but in that day he will work openly and boldly through this man, the Antichrist. That, in my opinion, my humble opinion, has not started yet. That has not happened. Is the Antichrist alive? I don't know. Is he emboldened by Satan yet? I don't know. He hasn't been revealed yet, and I don't think that's going to happen until after the rapture. You can agree with me on that. I don't care. I don't think he's been revealed yet, but when he is revealed, understand, by the time that happens, he will be fully possessed of the devil, and he will be wiser than any man, I think, on the planet. He has all the wisdom of the devil. Devil's been fooling people ever since he fooled Eve in the garden, right? He's a master at it. And if you don't think that this man is going to be a master, I said last week, I don't think anybody that you think is the Antichrist is the Antichrist. In fact, I think if you have a person in mind, you say, well, that guy could never be the Antichrist, that could be him. Because I think he's that wicked and that deceitful and that deadly. And I think Satan's that smart to keep him that way, okay? And so that's one of the titles. And go down one last thing here. Talk about his nature. I want you to make sure you get that. He will oppose God. I think you know that. In fact, there is an indication, and I can't prove this word for word, but there's an indication in Scripture, not only will he oppose God, but he will do away with the law of God. I believe that he will ban the law of God. I hate to get all wound up in supposed, but I suppose and I think we're already going towards that. If you believe what the Bible believes, we're going to have to outlaw your belief. Right? If you believe it's wrong to have, for instance, here's one of the first ones. If you believe it's wrong to have a pastor who is a homosexual, you won't be able to do that. That's, by the way, that is where our church stands, in case you didn't know that. We don't agree with that at all. We even go further. We're one of those old-fashioned churches that we don't believe the pastor should be a woman. 1 and 2 Timothy are next. Just calm down. I'll get there. I'll give you scriptural evidence for that. I have any problem with a woman being a teacher. I don't have any woman. There are many women, just in case you're wondering, there are many women much smarter in the Bible than I am. Much, much. And there's a few women that are much better preachers. Can I tell you a little guilty pleasure? I sometimes watch Joyce Myers. I don't agree with all of her doctrinal stuff, but she can preach. You say, aha, well, there's the evidence. No, I didn't say that was any evidence. Anyway, what I'm saying is this. There's going to come a time where what we believe will be outlawed, and you will go to jail for it. He's not just going to oppose the Scripture. He's going to do away with the Scripture and make his own laws and his own rules. And you would have to confess with me. You have to agree with this. America is leaning that way. I'm not saying we're there, but we're leaning. Amen? That's the way I feel. Again, this is my opinion, so you don't have to agree with me 100%, but I think that's he will oppose God. Number two, verse 4, he will exalt himself above all that is called Christ, all that is called God. In fact, he's going to go a little further than that also. The Antichrist may not immediately make this claim when he comes into power. I don't think he would. I don't think anybody who came into power would say, I'm God. But what's going to happen, he's going to say, here, I have the explanation here. And here's what a lot of theologians suppose, that after the rapture, thousands of people, millions of people, who knows how many, that's according to how you interpret what Jesus said, narrow is the way and few there be that find it. That passage of Scripture scares me sometimes. I don't know if you've ever thought about that passage. you know, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many that go in thereat, but narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. I don't apply that just to the world. I want you to know something. I apply that to Faith Baptist Church. I think there's a lot of people who come to Faith Baptist Church and think they know the way, but have not truly accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Their faith and confidence isn't in Him. Their faith and their confidence is in their good works and their righteous life, or their church attendance, or their giving, or whatever. And I know some of you are looking at me like, you think I'm not saying, I'm not saying who? Okay, I'm not pointing at anybody this morning. I'm just saying, if Jesus said that, I take it to be true. I don't think the vast majority of Americans, if Christ were to come today, are going to heaven. I don't believe it. You say, what do you think? 50 years ago? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. America was different 50 years ago. Most of us in this room, we were there, right? 50 years ago, we were around. I was 15, but I was around. I kind of had an idea what was going on in the world, right? And I think there's a better chance of that being true, that more of us would have went. I don't know today. It scares me a little bit. I'm terrified. Some of you know I have 8 grandchildren. I worry about 8. I want to see 8 out of 8 saved, and I want to see 8 serving Christ for themselves, not because granddaddy was a preacher, right? I want them to do it because that's what they believe when they've seen from the Scripture, and it's from their heart. And sometimes I'm scared. I worry about them. I pray for those girls, if they knew, granddad, every time. Anyway, we better get off. I'm going to get off track. Okay, so he will oppose God. He will exalt himself above God. And I believe it's going to start with that changing of the law, changing of the rules, so to speak. He's going to give this perfect explanation for the rapture. He'll become popular. He'll become popular to the point that people will do anything he says. And then when that happens, because of the dominance of control of Satan in his life, I think that he will, well, I know he will, because that's what the Scripture tells us in the book of Revelation. He will say that he is God. And for me, and for you right now, that's hard to accept, right? To say that there's somebody that could pull that off. Can I tell you something? There's somebody that can pull that off. You say, who is that? Well, it's not who you think it is. It's the devil. If the devil has possessed somebody to that point, he can pull that off. You know how I know he can do that? Listen to this. One third of all the angels followed him, and they were already in heaven. Think about that. They were already around the throne of God. They already knew who God was. They were already worshiping God. Satan said, I will exalt myself to be God, Lucifer. He left heaven, and a third of the angels went with him. You don't think he can convince the world that he is God through a human being? Absolutely, he has that ability. Isn't that scary? You could take that on a better level, by the way. He's fooled some of us on a lot of stuff. He fooled you before, right? Anybody here want to raise your hand and say, well, the devil's never fooled me on anything? Go ahead, stick it up. I want to see your hand. Go on, put it up there. I will challenge this. No takers? Jacob, no? No? We have all been made a monkey. The devil's made a monkey out of all of us at one point or another. Even after I knew the truth, either after I went to Bible college, even after I've been in the ministry for 40-plus years, every now and then, right? Okay, so understand that. So don't get surprised at what the Antichrist will be able to do. Look at number 3. I'm on page 15, and yes, I'm not covering everything because we'll never get done if we don't. He works by the very power of Satan, and there's 3 points there that Paul points out: with all power, with signs and lying wonders. By the way, don't ask me. I got asked that question last week. What do you think the signs and lying wonders will be? I don't know, because I don't think they'll look like signs and lying wonders. I think they'll look like miracles. I really do. We know one of the miracles, right? What's one of the miracles we know that's going to happen to the Antichrist? He's going to die publicly, and what's going to happen? He'll be raised from the dead. Okay, you say, is he really raised from the dead? Did he really die? That's what the Scripture says. Is that looks like all power from Satan. I don't think Satan has that power, so I'm not sure how that works out. And then it says, and then he makes this statement: with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Now, you don't have to be a Bible scholar. Look at me. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to know Greek and Hebrew to get this. Think about that phrase: with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Wickedness that deceives you into believing that it is. What would be deceiving? Wickedness that deceives you into believing that it's what? that it's righteousness, that it's right, that it's okay. We've seen that in our time frame, right? It's okay, it's my body, I can destroy the life within it if I want to, right? Deceitfulness of unrighteousness, that's hard to say. Deceitfulness of unrighteousness, and we're already headed that way in a lot of areas. What seems to be, what we know to be wrong, now, it's okay, that's okay. Transgender stuff is fine. If you feel like you're a boy and you were born a girl, as long as you feel, right? We're not falling for that? I know you're not. I'm talking about society. Some of you are looking, I don't believe that. I know you don't. I'm talking about, in general, our society. Are we not already doing that in areas? Can you imagine where we are today? Now imagine the man who becomes the Antichrist, okay? Imagine him in control and the laws changing. Then what is the deceitfulness of unrighteousness going to be like then? Aren't you glad you won't be here to find out? By the way, if you aren't glad you aren't, you better make sure, right? So you get some of these phrases, some of these words. That's why I've spent so long here, because, wow. It's just a few verses and just a few things. Go back to chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 again, and look at the words. Paul says this, we'll drop down. I got to go through the whole thing real quick here. Go to verse 2, that you be not so soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us is the day of Christ's hand. They were worried that they were already in tribulation. Paul's making sure that they understand they are not. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away of first. We talked about that already. And the man of sin be revealed. We talked about that. And then we talk about who he is, the son of perdition, who opposes thee and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He will actually sit on the throne in the temple and say, I am God. And people will buy it. And not only buy it, worship him. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about it this way. Don't get scared. Don't get too nervous. But that could be your grandchildren worshiping him. That could be your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren. You better leave a legacy of righteousness and truth, and you better be a testimony to your generation, because the generations that are coming out after you that are going to be highly deceived and fooled, to the point where a man says, I'm God, and they bow down before him. And I know what you're thinking in your mind. That'll never happen. Don't say that. I've done a lot of things in my life that I said I would never do that. Right? We don't know what our heart and our flesh is capable. By the way, I'm talking about that tonight, what the flesh is capable about. Fighting the flesh is the message, Sunday night message tonight. So they will look back at your notes here. They will, I'm middle of page 16. They will reject the truth. We've already talked about that. They will receive a lie. They're going to hear it. That's all I mean by that point. I tried to get three R's in there, and it didn't work, so I had to go with believe. So they'll receive the lie, but that's not the big thing. Here's the big thing. They will believe the lie. They will believe whatever lie that he puts out, they'll believe it. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a little nervous that we're kind of already in that era. There's a lot of things I talked about a while ago. For instance, I'll give you an example. I talked about a while ago when the rapture occurs, people will say, what happened? And he will come up. I really believe that's a good possibility. I'm not saying it's a Bible truth. I'm saying it's a good possibility that he will come up with an explanation. I think the stage has already been set for that. You say, what do you mean? How many of you remember the Boeing 777, the Malaysia air flight? I think it was 370 or 3-something. Was that 2014? It doesn't seem like it's that long ago, but I think it's 2014. 200-plus people on that airplane. It's gone, disappeared. Anybody know what happened to it? I'm still wondering. And we don't even talk about it. You know, 200 people, gone. No big deal. We just lost them. You know, the plane made a U-turn over the coast and went back to the ocean, and it crashed in the ocean, and there's no debris. No suitcases floated, no bodies floated, no cell phones pinged. Yeah, I buy that. You say, Brother Morris, are you going for a conspiracy? I don't know. I just know that we don't seem to care very much about that. Somebody made some silly explanations about that, and guess what? You bought it. We can't be deceived. We can't be fooled. Come on. You better wake up. you better know this book, right? Better yet, you better know the Savior. Amen? You getting it? So get that. They will believe the lie. They'll fall for it. Now, here's the question I got asked last week. Here's why your lesson is so much longer. I made a statement last week. I shouldn't have made a statement because when I make controversial statements, you people attack me, which is fine, and I like it. It kind of gives me more to think about. Somebody asked me last week, so I said, I believe that in the tribulation, some people who have heard the gospel will still be able to accept the gospel in tribulation, and I got probably four or five people to go, I don't believe that. You're wrong. You're never, I don't think you need to study this for you. Okay, everybody calm down. I'm going to explain my position, okay? And I'm going to explain why I say what I say. And I've got some good material here. You can read it for yourself. Look at your notes. I'm on top of page 17. Everybody still with me? Okay, top of page. If you got the old lesson, you're not. So anyway, top of page 17, the world will have its own explanation for Satan to invent the perfect lie to deceive the world about the disappearance of thousands of people. Satan's lie will be very believable to Earth citizens. Again, I don't know if that's a UFO explanation. I don't know what the explanation might be, but there'll be one. The world, at least the United States, in my opinion, is already well on its way to rejecting truth and believing a lie. Would you say we're set for that? How many would agree with me? I think the United States is already set for that. We're not there, but we're on the edge, and we could all buy it. Look around. Most Bible-believing Christians do believe that. I believe we're right there. And the right leader, I mean, people believe Fauci. And his story's changed I don't know how many times. But every time he says something, I went to a play. I drove 5 hours to Missouri Friday night to see my grandson in a college theater production, right? And drove 5 hours back Saturday morning. Whew. But anyway, in the play, they were wearing masks. I'm not exaggerating. The guy who narrated and started the whole thing is the Legend of Sleepy Hollow, by the way. And I'm sitting there going, seriously? He was on the stage by himself. We were easily 30. I mean, the first row was easily 30 feet from him. But he had to introduce the play with the whole thing. And I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. But they were very woke. Public college, they're with it. They stopped right before the play started. I thought we were going to... How many of you know my son, Dean? Well, if you know Dean. They stopped and walked up to Dean and told him to pull his mask over his nose. And I was sitting behind him going... I thought, here we go, game on. But Dean was very nice and, you know, in public, he can be that way. And so, you know, he did that. But I thought, this is a silly... We do it, right? Right? But we'll never believe the Antichrist. Come on, people. You better wake up. I'm just telling you. Okay, I got to quit going off track or we'll be using another version of this lesson next week. Okay, some understand from verse 11. Read verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. So people read verse 11 and 12 and say, but Brother Morris, verses 11 and 12 say that if they will be so deceived, they cannot be saved. And some people say from that, nobody can be saved. Wait a minute, you can't do that. You got to go back to the book of Revelation. What happens in the book of Revelation? 144,000 Jewish witnesses are witnessing and people do accept Christ, right? So remember last week we talked about, is the Holy Spirit taken away during the tribulation? No. The strong influence of the Holy Spirit is taken away because the church is gone and the Christians are gone. The real believers are gone, right? So the strongest influence of the Holy Spirit the world's ever known is gone. But he's not gone. He didn't leave. Right? You still with me? People are getting saved. So you have to admit to me, some people do get saved. You say, but I know that. But what we believe is that people who've had a strong witness won't get saved then. All right, keep reading. All right, keep reading. So some understand it to be that when Christ comes, takes his church from glory, they will find him possibly saved after the church is translated. It is unlikely a person who rejects Christ in the day of grace will turn to him in that awful period of tribulation. I will agree with that sense. That's kind of where I stand. It's going to be unlikely and it's going to be difficult. But the usual principle of Scripture is that where there is life, there is hope. There are Bible interpreters. I'm going back and forth what I'm saying and what other people are saying, just so you know what's going on. There are Bible interpreters who believe that there is absolutely no chance for salvation after the rapture. That is, those who've heard a clear gospel presentation and have rejected it, at the moment of the rapture, they're doomed. Clear? We know that's not everybody. It can't be, because the Jewish witnesses, Revelation, whatever. But that's what they're saying. Okay. However, there's no place in the Bible that says that, except for what this is the only proof text anybody has, by the way. Actually, there will be many people come to Christ during the tribulation. I mentioned this already. 144,000 Jewish witnesses in Revelation 7 are Jewish believers. If no one could come to Christ in the tribulation, then why are these people being beheaded for their faith? That seems interesting, right? They're being beheaded for what? So people are getting saved during the tribulation. Yes or no? Would you agree? Yes or no? This is yes. Some of you are just looking. This is yes. This is no. Okay? You used to have to tell my kids that when they didn't answer me. Yes or no? Okay. Just so you can help me out here. No passage of Scripture argues against people having a chance to be saved after the rapture. Many passages indicate just the opposite. Read the book of Revelation chapter 7 for yourself. You know that part's true. So let's go to the second argument. Can people be saved during the tribulation? I think we're going to have to say yes. Can people who have rejected the gospel be saved during the tribulation? Keep reading. During the last couple of years, the most frequently asked question, this is not me, by the way. This is, I think it's Ice, Donald Ice. Yeah, Thomas Ice. Where's Thomas Ice from? I think he's from out of Liberty University. And I know you don't agree with everything. I don't either, but this is good. Okay, let me drop down. Second paragraph. The notion that one has heard the gospel and rejects it before the rapture will thus be unable to be saved in the tribulation is argued from the passages I just read you in 2 Thessalonians. Drop down. Proponents of this view contend that God, through the Antichrist, will actually delude those who do not believe. While that is true, that is part of the truth, nothing in the passage suggests that the delusion is a result of the individual's unbelief due to the rejection of the gospel before the rapture. There are a number of reasons why I don't think 2 Thessalonians supports that view. And by the way, I agree with all three of these reasons. And by the way, you don't have to agree with me. Find another class. No, I'm just kidding. 2 Thessalonians 2 does not say anything about an individual hearing, understanding, and then rejecting the gospel. Read it for yourself. That says nothing about that. You say, well, that's what it means. I'm not asking you your interpretation. I'm asking you what it says. Doesn't say that. It does make a universal statement about those who have a love, who do not have a love of truth. Thus, all unbelievers are referred to in the same way as one group. Anybody who is unsaved does not have a love of the truth. They don't even know the truth. That's everybody, okay? There's no basis in this passage for identifying a subclass of unbelievers, such as those who've heard the gospel, understood it, and rejected it. Second, the context of the entire passage, and by the way, this is the clearest argument for me, relates that to what will happen in the forthcoming tribulation period. The context, for when they receive not the love of the truth is actually in verse 10, clearly being taking place during the tribulation. Go back to verse 10. Don't pull verse 11 and 12 out of context. It has to be in the context of the passage. Interpret Scripture by what? Scripture, right? The Scripture is the best interpreter of the Scripture. Go back to verse 10. And with all deceit, what are we talking about? All the verses before that are talking about who? I just told you, started the whole lesson with. Who are all these verses talking about? Who? Not what, who? The Antichrist. Okay, so verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the truth that they might be saved. So all this relates to the Antichrist, and all this relates to the Antichrist after he's been revealed, right? Get things in the time frame right. Go back to your notes again. I'm at top of the page, third line. The Second Thessalonians passage is talking about the response of unbelievers during the tribulation. By the way, if you reject Christ during the tribulation, you're not going to be saved. Or any time. It doesn't matter what time. If you don't love the truth and you reject the truth before the tribulation, you're not going to be saved. If you don't love the truth and you reject the truth after the tribulation, that's not different. you're not going to be saved. Okay? If the pastor is referring to an unbelieving response prior to the tribulation with the result that such a delusion would impact one's destiny during the tribulation, then the passage would have probably been worded differently in order to convey such a message. Since it's not so configured, then there's no support for the belief that a person's rejection of the gospel is necessary. Okay, I'm not going to read all that, and I'm not going to read number three. Let me tell you, so read it for yourself. You'll see why I stand where I stand. But now let me just tell you where I stand. Make it real simple. You say, Brother Morris, if somebody hears a good, clear presentation of the gospel during, before the rapture, and the rapture occurs, and they live into the tribulation, can they be saved? My answer is twofold. Yes, but, yes, I think they can. Here's where I stand. I think it's less likely. I think it's less likely. Because there's not as much influence of the Holy Spirit, right? The church is gone. Believers are gone. If they accept Christ at that point, it's going to be on their own in the face of strong delusion. So will that happen? Yes, but I don't think it's going to be a regular thing, and I don't think it's going to be a worldwide spread thing. I think there may be some. And here's what I think, okay? I'm giving you my opinion. I'm stepping away from the pulpit because I'm not giving you scriptural evidence for this. I've given you scriptural evidence for what I stand up to. Here's what I think. I think some of those will be children and grandchildren of people like you and me who've heard, who's been witnessed, who's been hammered home and said, and this is going to happen. They've said in church, they know about the tribulation. They know about the rapture. And when it occurs, I think that there's a group of them, a very small group, a tiny, tiny percentage of those who will go, oh my God. Grandma was right. I hold out hope for that. You say, prove it. I'm not over there right now. I'm just saying, I think I can prove that there's evidence that that can happen, but I think it's a slim chance that it will happen. Please don't bank on that. Some of you say, well, great, at least if the rapture occurs today, some of my grandchildren have a chance. They will, but if they don't believe now and they go into then and the Antichrist, Satan takes possession of him and these delusions and these miracles, they didn't believe it before. Would you agree with me? The chances are not good that they're going to believe it then. So I will say, yes, I think they can, but doubtful I think they will. I know that's... I'm giving you the best biblical position I can give you on that answer, but I think it's fairly as accurate as I can give you. Yeah, I don't like that passage either. Some of you probably sitting there going, well, that's terrible. I know. So it's really important that you're not just talking about Christ and witnessing about Christ, but important that you're living for Him. Because that next generation, buddy, they need some help. Amen? There's a lot of people in my generation that need some help. Every now and then, I post some stuff on Facebook. If you go to my Facebook, it's just, by the way, just scripture pretty much. I don't go a whole lot. Every now and then, somebody will tag me as a family thing, happy birthday or something. And you'll notice if you go to my Facebook, that's on there for about a week, then I drop it off because that's not what I put it there for. But every now and then, I get messages from teenagers that were in my youth department. By the way, teenagers in my youth department when I first started are now turning 60. What am I, like ancient now? Okay, but I graduated from college when I was 20 and was a youth pastor just at the tail end of my 20th year, 21st year, and there were kids in my youth department when I was 20 that were 18. Well, now I'm 65 and they're 63. That is weird, okay? Several of them look much older than me, which I like. But... No, I do. I really do. You would too. But I'm getting messages from some of those kids, some very positive, some wonderful. Hey, good to see you. Good to hear. Know who you are. But I get every now and then a message from one of those kids that says, you lied to us. None of this is true. I'm an atheist now. And I'm just like, what? They're already deceived. They grew up in a good Christian home and a good Christian youth department. They had hopefully a decent youth pastor. Several of them went to Bible college, studied the scripture, and now they're atheists. They've already believed a lie. Don't think it not possible that people who have heard won't be fooled. Can they in the tribulation be saved? I'm going to say yes. I'm just going to say this too. Not likely. Yes. She said, I think I heard you right, that they will be martyred. Yeah. Yeah, if you believe, and you will have to openly confess, and if you openly confess, you say, well, how would they know that? It's Satan, people. Trust me, he'll know. Yeah, they'll be martyred. Isn't that, I mean, some of you are sitting here going, well, this is horrible. Why are we even talking about this? Because that hadn't happened yet, and you still have an opportunity to win people to Christ, and you should. Amen? Not very exciting. Nobody hears a lesson. Hopefully, you don't hear a lesson to say, oh, that's wonderful. Well, it's wonderful for us. It's not wonderful for the unsaved. Okay? And that's, by the way, some of you know I don't like to deal very much in prophecy, even though it sounds like I do this morning. I get a little nervous about prophecy because there's some things I don't know. And I don't want to be the Pharisee that goes, I know this is an absolute fact and this is what's going to happen. And then find out later, oh, never mind. I was wrong. Okay? Paul had to do that, right? Paul had to say, wait, we misinterpreted this. He is the Messiah. Even when he was alive, you know, Paul didn't buy into it, right? He was actually martyring Christians. And later on the road to Damascus, God had to kind of, I don't know a better way to say it, slap him in the face and say, hey, Paul, what are you doing? You know the truth. Relate the truth that you know to Jesus Christ. And when he did that, guess what? He knew who God was, right? So be careful how you stand on things. Move to the end of the passage, okay? A couple other things I want to make sure you understand. What's going to happen to the Antichrist? I think most of you know this, but I'll throw it out there. We've got a couple more minutes. I'm actually going to finish the lesson. I just skipped a lot of it. By the way, we do produce a lesson, so if you want to have those, if you don't have them, let me know and I'll get you one. If you're watching online, I know we have that online now, and you would say, I would like to have this a copy. I get that every week. Somebody sends me an email and says, could we have a copy of that lesson? Great. Be glad to do it, and I'll send it to you. So look at the bottom of page 18 on your lessons. You with me? Everybody with me now? Go back. So we know what's going to happen. The Antichrist is consumed. Keep in mind that, this is Dr. Wiersbe, keep in mind that God has a timetable. Satan will not be permitted to control the world forever. Jesus Christ will return in power and great glory and take the Antichrist and his associates prisoner and also Satan and cast him into the bottomless pit. This will be the climax of the great battle of Armageddon during which the nations will unite to stand and fight against Jesus Christ. And you see that, I put it on the next page, Revelation chapter 19. I put both of and chapter 20. You can read that for yourself, study it for yourself. That's not today's lesson. But as terrible and horrible as that time is, understand this, that man giving himself over to the devil, his end is tragic. By the way, that man allows that to happen. The devil doesn't take it. He has to set himself up to allow the devil to destroy him. That's scary, isn't it? That there's somebody that's that wicked. And I think you know what happens then, right? Then the Lord comes. I get a little nervous when I'm talking about prophecy. I'm talking about the second coming. We're not talking about the rapture now. Rapture, Lord meets us in the air. The second coming, the Lord comes down to the earth. Make sure you get your timelines right. In the second coming, who comes with him? Who comes with him? Yeah. Only a few of you are saying me. People. I'm hoping, I'm saying me because I'm planning to be there, right? Because I know him. And that day, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. You know, the Battle of Armageddon is one of the strangest things in the scripture to me. Jesus Christ comes out of the sky riding a horse and all the host of heaven with him. And these people are shooting with their puny little tanks or whatever they got, you know, Apache helicopters. Come on. What are you doing? Seriously. These are angelic beings on flying horses. Dumbest battle I've ever heard of. They're like, what are you doing? You say, listen, they're deluded. They're deceived. At one point, and again, now let me step away. Again, I'm going to throw out some stuff that I think. At one point, Satan, through the Antichrist, is able to deceive them into thinking that when that battle happens, we're going to win. Not we as Christians, them as... They really believe... They can beat God. Because why? Think about it. Why do they think that they can beat the angelic beings coming out of heaven? They believe that the guy that's with them is God. You see that? You see how that far that's gone? They believe we have God with us. We're fighting on God's side, and they are coming to destroy what God has done for us. Okay, height of deceit, height of delusion, height of insanity. Yeah, and you think our world's crazy today. We aren't even there yet. That'll scare you a little bit. You better pray for, you better witness to, you better evangelize the people you know. Amen? Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to work in our hearts and life. Help us as we try to finish these lessons and get through these verses to make sure that we're comparing Scripture with Scripture and truth with truth. Lord, I know there's a lot of conjecture, there's a lot of guessing involved in this, and yet there are some things that are definite and certain. Christ is coming. He will meet the saints in the air. There will be a second coming. There is an Antichrist. There is a wicked one. There is a son of perdition that's coming. And Lord, we had better be prepared. And we had better make sure that we know this book, or we'll be fooled into knowing him. Help us, Lord, to make sure that we know the truth, that we live the truth, and that we teach the truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are